Craftsman Days are here at Lowe's with big savings on the tools you need. Save $100 on the Craftsman V20 6-Tool Power Tool Combo Kit, now at $199. No matter what the project is, Craftsman's high-quality, high-performance products empower you to build on. Stop by your nearest Lowe's store and check out the full line of Craftsman tools today. Valid through 6/18 while supplies last. Selection varies by location.
I don't know if I can do this.
What happened?
I am so sick of these derpy heisters. Oh, I hate these people.
I know.
I don't know if I can get through this.
Well, I'll hold your hand. I think we're going to be okay.
Like, let's try it.
At one point, I wrote in huge letters, who cares?
I have whatever. Who cares about 15,000 times? So I'm so glad we're on the same page.
Good.
Let's give it a whirl, I guess.
Hi, Julian Bethavale.
Hi, Patrick Hines.
We're on YouTube, and we're blowing up.
We are.
We're blowing up.
We're, like, currently right this minute on YouTube.
I know. Right now, what we're saying is somebody is looking at this on YouTube.
Yes.
It's
oh,
wild.
That's crazy.
Isn't that weird?
Weird.
In the future and in the past.
And the present.
Fam, it's True Crime Obsessed Podcast. Go check us out. People are having a good time watching us. I think we give good YouTube.
I certainly hope so.
We do.
That's what I hope.
We're also, like, I know these walls are really gray, but I promise we're going to dress them up. We've been working on this for a while.
We're going to dress you up in my love, as Madonna used to say.
Tell them about the DC.
So we're also on Discord.
did I invent something cool?
Never known as DC.
Did I just invent a cool new thing?
No. The Discord is super fun. We have all these channels where, like, talking about episodes and then just random stuff. And I'm always sort of giving people sneak peeks on what we're recording.
Oh, that's good.
Hey, guys, I'm in my Fox Hollow prep today.
Every now and then somebody will tag me. I'll get, like, a notification that I was tagged on Discord. I'm like, I don't know how to open that.
Don't worry about it. I got you.
Is it okay if I don't go in there very often?
It is super fine.
Okay. Is it preferable to you?
No. It's also where we source, like, our AMA questions on Patreon. Uh-huh, and, like, we're just in there. It's just, like, a fun chat.
Grandpa's over in the Facebook group. Come find Gramps in the Facebook group. See if I'm having an app. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Eating a Werther's original.
Yeah, that's kind of what you put. You're like, I'm eating a Werther's right now. Werther's. Everyone's like, cool girl. Gets 10,000
cool
likes.
What are we talking about today?
We are talking about it's called The Biggest Heist Ever. It's on Netflix.
The Department of Justice announcing the arrest of two individuals in Manhattan this morning.
Back in 2016, hackers broke into an online currency exchange stealing 120,000 Bitcoin, which at the time was worth $70 million. But today, it's worth a staggering $4 billion.
Federal agents seized the tokens from digital wallets belonging to husband and wife, Ilya Lichtenstein and Heather Morgan.
When you talk about the arrest of people involved in a $4.5 billion heist, you think that the criminals behind it are going to be these serious, hardened people. But in reality, the people behind this particular case, they are these wacky, cringy individuals who are posting these totally insane videos on social media while they are trying to pull off this incredible crime.
Grandpa, come on!
I'm a motherfucking bad bitch. Go on, make me a sandwich.
That was cringe. That was trash.
I mean, here's what I'll say. It opens on January 5th, 2020. Like, we open at the end. So at least we know that these dingbat idiots get it in the end.
Barely.
I know. Barely. It's true. I mean, they stole $4.5 billion, these idiots.
It's a Bitcoin thing. So, okay. We're talking about, we're with Chris. He's special agent for the IRS.
He is so cute. But I want to know about his upbringing.
Why?
Because he's so type A, nary a smile on this guy's face.
He's very annoyed about all of this, which I appreciate.
He is, but, like, in the juxtaposition between him and these two idiots that steal the $4.5 billion, like, they're out there making rap videos and, like, going to dinner.
I mean, that's very generous.
I'm like, I love Chris. I'm really into him. I just wonder, like, I know that he has had fun. I just wonder what that looks like for him.
Well,
what does fun look like for Chris?
Well, he investigates cases that have to do with money laundering.
Yeah.
So he's like, you know, like, child exploitation cases.
Uh-huh.
And I'm like, oh, shit, of course.
Yep.
But, like, he sees a lot of shit. And a lot of the stuff, I think, is, to the layperson, like myself, like, kind of boring.
Uh-huh.
But he loves it. So
he
I think his fun is his work.
I think that's true. I want to know more about his upbringing. That's all. Like, was he, like, in the marching band? Was he on the soccer team?
I'd go soccer over marching band, if I'm guessing. And you know me, I think a marching band is super
cool. No, me too.
So it's the 2016 hack of Bitfinex, whatever. Yes. $72 million worth of Bitcoin was stolen, and the exchange was based in Hong Kong.
Yes. I once met a lady in the playground who tried to get me interested in crypto, and I really wanted to. Like, I wanted to understand it.
What did she say it was?
Well, that's the thing.
They can't ever do it.
No, it was never, like, we never got very far into, like, what exactly crypto is, but she's like...
That's insane.
I know. But I knew Bitcoin, like, I understood that, like...
I can't describe what it is, but I want you to do it, is what she said.
Basically, give me your money, and I will invest it for you.
I will turn it into something that doesn't exist.
And I'm like, okay, do you have magic beans, too?
You're like, right? I have a bridge to sell you.
I do. All I know is that there was a time many years ago that I toyed with the idea of buying a piece of a Bitcoin, and I never did.
Okay.
And I don't know if that was a good decision or a bad one. I don't know.
Well, exactly. It was meaningless in your life. Right. Like, you're fine. Everything's fine.
I'm doing okay.
And you're not involved in this.
That's true.
So we talked to Sheil. He's the head of the communications at Bitfinex.
Yes.
Head of communications, not the communications, because I'm not an old person yet. He says it's one of the top 10 cryptocurrency exchanges in the world.
Yeah.
Everyone is telling us this hack was a very, very big deal.
Yeah. And they said...
When these multi-million dollar hacks happen, it's often a rogue country. It's Russia. It's Ukraine. It's Iran, North Korea. It's ISIS. And then they use this money to try to fund terror groups or destabilize governments, which is why these hacks are often an issue of national security.
Is it going to fund some terrorism? What's the deal?
But then Homeland Security, they definitely are more in the Facebook group than the Discord, because they only get so far before they're like, we can't internet any further. We don't know how to find out any more information.
They can barely make sense of what these hackers did. They
so
have
I guess
no idea.
They get to just keep that $4.5 billion they stole.
Right.
Travel down the road back again. Girl, Helix is back.
You know what?
Happy
to have them. Jumped out of bed today like a little spring cute chicken.
I remember what it used to be like to sleep in my bed that was lumpy. I remember all my mattresses would always fold in the middle like a taco, and I always slept super hot.
The bad old days, you know what I mean?
Bad old days, and like that's the whole thing about our Helix mattress, is that like the way that we sleep, the quality of our sleep, the fact that our entire family, including our dog, only wants to sleep in our bed.
Fiona, literally, I fell asleep on the couch the other day.
Yeah.
She barked at me. I'm not kidding, and walked me into bed.
No, I mean, it tells you everything you need to know. You know, Helix has been with us for like 8 or 9 years at this point. We love Helix. We are never going back. I actually recommend Helix to everybody in my life. They're like, but honestly, tell me the truth. Is Helix really the best? I'm like, Helix really is us. They send the mattress right to your door.
Yeah.
You take a little sleep quiz. It takes 2 minutes or less. You tell them like your preferences, what you like, how you sleep.
And it's great too, because Mike and I have different preferences. And
yes.
I was like, there's no way.
Yes.
There's no way.
I know.
And the Midnight Lux mattress solved all my problems.
I know. And I was saying last time, we donate our apartment to this organization that I work for once a year. So I'll like when we put on this event, all the bigwigs at this organization can sleep over. They fight to sleep in our bed because everybody loves it so much.
Or you can get your own, everybody.
I know. That's another option, Kelly.
Yeah.
So fam, go to helixsleep.com/TCO for 27% off site-wide, plus a free bedding bundle. It's a sheet set and mattress protector with any Lux or Elite mattress order. This is exclusive for listeners of True Crime Obsessed.
Yeah, so that's helixsleep.com/TCO for 27% off site-wide, plus free bedding bundle. That's the sheet set and mattress protector with any Lux or Elite mattress order. And it's exclusive for listeners of True Crime Obsessed.
Do you guys feel exclusive? Because you are.
Yeah, helixsleep.com/TCO.
Thank you so much.
Do it. So Brett Johnson is here.
I can't believe there aren't like the equivalent of internet mafia after these people. Like, that's how are they just getting away with this?
They probably are. You just can't talk about it. And they're the
Chris
mafia.
Knows all
you know,
about
they're
it.
Like the mafia that's like they don't look like.
Uh-huh.
You know?
But, like, these people don't seem to be afraid of them. You know what I mean?
These two dingbats?
Well, if I, like, speed
I mean, they're not thinking ahead not 1 centimeter.
If I cut somebody off in New Jersey, I feel like I'm immediately headed for the Pine Barrens.
No, I wouldn't do that.
There's no... It's, like, cut somebody off.
I love that you know the Pine Barrens.
Pine Barrens.
That's really
I only
nice.
Know it from the fucking Durst.
Oh, it's also arguably the best episode of The Sopranos.
Oh, really?
It's literally called The Pine Barrens. It's hilarious.
I don't want to go. I don't want to go there.
Interior decorated. His house looked like shit. Anyway. So Brett Johnson knows all about what's going on because...
The United States Secret Service, they called me the original internet godfather. I was placed on the United States Most Wanted list. Credit card schemes, phishing attacks, stimulus fraud, synthetic fraud, you name it. I was on the ground floor of developing, refining, outright doing it.
He wants us to be so impressed. He wants us to think that he is the coolest. He's going to say, I invented cyber hacking. He's going to say, like, that was him.
Yeah.
He did it.
I don't think there's a single thing that is impressive to me and from anyone. Maybe IRS Chris, because it's like he's getting to the bottom of shit and we're like, he's like getting the people who are exploiting children. Like,
yeah, that's great.
And like, let's not do terrorism. But everything else, I'm like, oh, cool. You hacked it.
You learned how to computer better than me.
Great job.
I've
had my identity stolen. This is old news.
You know what I did? Marching band. Like, and that was fucking fun.
I don't care. I called up Chase and they were like, don't worry, girl. We know it wasn't you.
I know. The first time I got like my debit card stolen and like somebody charged $700 on my debit card, I thought I was going to have to pay for
that.
Where'd
they
go? Oh, the children's place.
Mine too.
Shut up.
I swear to God, the children's, I was like 22 and single.
What?
The children's place, Victoria's Secret, Gap Baby.
Oh, like my God.
And I'm like,
Children's Place, like, $725.
Pipe it on the Victoria's Secret if you're spending $1,000 at the Children's Place. But the cops, like, took one. I was like, I didn't do this. Like, hi. Like, this isn't me. And Chase was like, you're 22 and single. Like,
I know.
I wouldn't worry about
it. I thought I was on the his hook for it. I thought I was going to have to get a second job.
But I think maybe sometimes you are. But they were like,
oh my God.
I don't know what the deal is. But it was very, they took
on one, the hizzy for
yeah,
it?
I don't know. I just skated right by it. They took one look at me and they were like, you are not spending your weekend in Paramus, New Jersey at the Children's Place.
No. You of all people.
They were like, oh.
None of that.
I was like, I can show you where I was. I was actually at a weekend long event, whatever. And they were like, no.
We don't. It doesn't matter.
We're moving on to other fraud.
They can keep the crib.
The biggest fraud is you trying to go to the Children's Place. I was like, I didn't try to go. So Brett is trying to explain it to us like we're idiots. And I'm like, no, Brett, I'm not an idiot. I just don't care.
No, I mean, essentially what they do is they trick people into giving them their fucking passwords and then they transfer the money out. Like, it's as simple as that.
So what happens is that
the person who broke into Bitfinex had access to their servers for months. This hacker modified the backend code. So it sends them customers' passwords as people log into the system. Once the hacker was able to gain access, they executed the script to automatically transfer over funds.
The hacker's in, they transfer the funds, they delete all of the access, and they wipe. It's like wiping your fingerprints from a crime scene, they say.
Yeah.
Bada bing, bada boom, they're in.
And like, but the thing about Bitcoin, we'll get more into this later, even I knew this, you can track every Bitcoin transaction across the internet forever. So like, what good does it do you to actually steal Bitcoin?
These people did not have a plan, because I asked that about 17 times. What was the plan here?
They eventually get brought down by Uber gift cards, because that's all they could buy with this shit.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I mean, it's ridiculous.
It's insane.
So we learned that the crypto boom was, quote, the most insane moment in financial history. Like, what about that big crash we had in the 20s? No, that wasn't an insane moment in financial history. 2008, like,
no. The crypto boom. Should I buy that Trump crypto?
No.
Try to get myself into that White House dinner?
Get out right now. Get out.
You don't want Trump crypto?
No. I need you to stop saying that name to me. I thought this was a safe space.
You're right.
Like,
I'm so sorry.
Dare you?
I'm so sorry. I'm so sorry.
I just got sucker punched.
In your own booth.
In my own home.
Oh, my God. Oh, Trump crypto. Oh, my.
So Rachel is a crypto influencer. Yawn. She's nice enough.
Well, the thing about this Rachel, though, is that she bought Bitcoin when it was nothing, and then it, like, was worth $1 billion, and she cashed out. Like, Rachel did a really smart thing 100 years ago.
She was a substitute teacher turned millionaire, and I was like, huh, Lin-Manuel Miranda has that exact same trajectory. Different directions, but they ended up millionaires.
Yeah, absolutely.
So during the boom, the stolen $72 million grows into $4.5 billion, billion with a B.
I remember watching this happen with Bitcoin, where like people bought Bitcoin for like $1,000, and then the next day it was worth $17,000. Then they bought like 40 of them. You know what I mean? Like,
Bitcoin, and then they take it out immediately, right?
No, and nobody ever fucking does that. And that's what it's, right. Like, except Rachel did it, but like that's what's so crazy, because Bitcoin's not worth anything now, or like it's worth much less than it was at its height.
I'm so tired. I just don't care.
I know.
Like, I just don't care. So I'm sitting there. I'm like, wait, so it's still in the crypto world? Like, they let it sit here and grow.
Yeah.
Like, you can't just let that much money sit in one place. Like,
right.
Eventually, some of the money starts to move. And that's how this previously cold case turns piping hot.
Right. Because you can't, if you steal Bitcoin basically has a serial number on it that you can't take off.
Right.
So if you steal somebody's Bitcoin and you ever try to spend that Bitcoin, the entire internet on the blockchain, which is basically just like a public ledger. I don't know how I know this much about
IRS
this.
Chris explains it to us the best we can, and you paid attention because
I listen to like podcasts about this sometimes, you know, it just comes up or whatever, but like you can track it anywhere.
I think what's unique about cryptocurrency investigations is that the public blockchain is the crime scene. The blockchain
is a public ledger where you can go and see the transactions, but you can't see who is responsible.
So anyone can go on and see the transactions, but you can't see who is making
right.
those transactions.
That's the whole point of, that's the crypto and cryptocurrency.
So we can see the account. They call it a wallet. It's an account.
Yeah.
They do anything to not say a bank account or like anything that's any word or idea that's familiar to us idiots who aren't in crypto, according to them. I'm like, it's just an account.
Yeah.
They're
it's
like,
an account
what's
with
a wallet?
With a
wallet,
password.
A wallet's like a, it's kind of like a, and I'm like, an account. It's an account.
How do I explain this? You have money and you got a wallet.
I don't like it. It's just an account.
Rachel, can you explain this to them?
My God.
I know.
So 2020 comes around. Great year.
I know.
Womp womp. TRM Labs is here. They trace and track the flow of funds in cryptocurrency. So they're here to try to help the IRS figure out what is going on,
what the
who did
going
this,
on.
And what the situation is.
Yeah.
And so everything that's happening is happening outside, quote, traditional financial institutions. I'm like, just say banks. I feel insane.
I know.
Stop gaslighting me. I'm not defending big banks, but just say what they are.
I know. It's true.
It's so weird. Like, it's a bank, but it's online.
Right.
My God.
Look, you're nailing it. Oh my God. I'm sorry, fam. I'm shifting all around because like we're still getting used to our new space. It's a little tight in here. But now I'm sitting crisscross apples.
That face was not you.
No,
that was just this.
No. I know.
So the money is moved to Alphabay, which is the eBay of criminal goods and services. It's a way to launder money, basically.
Yeah.
So this makes it very hard to, you know, follow the money and see where it goes, which is how you solve this kind of shit.
Alphabay broke up the trail on the Bitcoin blockchain. So think of it as you walk into a bank with a $100 bill and you go out to the ATM and pull out a different $100 bill. Like if you're following that first bill, the serial numbers, you'd be following the wrong trail. And so a darknet market like Alphabay can be a black hole for information for following the flow of funds.
It's like used for trafficking drugs and laundering cryptocurrency. Like, that's exactly it.
So back in 2017, the government shuts down Alphabay.
Yes.
And now people like IRS Chris can look through all of the transactions, but there are billions of them.
Yeah.
And you can't really make sense of it.
And Alphabay is a place that you would go and dump your Bitcoin into a mixer and get spit out somebody else's Bitcoin. So it was another way of keeping the Bitcoin even harder to trace.
Disgusting.
But they shut it down, thank God. So now they can trace all of that back. And that's how they start to figure out who stole this money.
So they keep seeing two people show up over and over and over again. Ilya Lichtenstein and Heather Morgan.
Yeah.
Two of the most annoying people I've ever had the displeasure of coming across. Herbs doesn't even come close.
Yeah, and we're going to learn they lived in our city, and we probably, like, were on the subway with them at one point.
Maybe.
Can you imagine?
Every Herb we've ever called a Herb is like, hey, don't let me in with these dingbats.
I know. Well, but that's the thing. The authorities go through Heather's social media accounts. She's got, like, thousands of videos of her, like, just being, like, trying to be an influencer, and they're like, there's no way this idiot stole billions of dollars.
They're like, the government has it wrong. These bozos did not do this.
The best defense they have is being themselves.
Because they're annoying, they're obnoxious, and they're relentless. Like, maybe stay offline.
Yeah,
you're in the middle of getting away with stealing $4 billion.
Exactly.
Because you shut your mouth for 2 seconds.
That's the thing.
No, and they don't. That's why we're
and
here.
And nobody actually wants to do that. But they're saying what's great about her social media is that you can see every square inch of their apartment. So you can actually start to catalog things. Like, are these the kind of people who could afford that furniture? Is that a fancy bottle of champagne? Like, what do they do for work that they can afford that?
So stay stupid, everyone. I just don't always want to have to see it and hear it.
No,
And neither do the guys on the case, because they're like, believe me, it was a nightmare.
Yeah.
Like, we had to watch and really pay attention to thousands of their videos. It was the worst.
And the videos are not well made. Aaron is not involved on their team.
No!
You know what I mean?
And it's just so, like, nothing is genuine or authentic.
Yes,
so it just reeks of desperation.
It's
and I'm
true.
Just like, I'm not watching anything real here.
No, and so now we start to get, like, backstory. We start to meet, like, Heather's friend. We meet, like, Miguel, Heather's college roommate. And, like, they both studied international relations and economics. And, like, he's saying she was always looking for the next best thing. We got James, who's here, but he won't be interviewed on camera.
Okay.
He's too scared.
And this is all happening in Silicon Valley, by the way.
Yeah. The thing that we have to kind of acknowledge about Heather is that we know that she is an intelligent person. We're going to learn more about... She knows a bunch of languages, and, like, she did really well in school. She moved to... Like, they say she moved to Silicon Valley in its golden age.
Whatever.
Like, did Silicon Valley have a golden age? But, they're like, when people could go from nothing to billionaire overnight.
Right.
girl, Cure is back. So listen, Cure is a plant-based hydrating electrolyte drink mix with no added sugar. Can I tell you, it is absolutely delicious. I start my day with it every single day. That is not a lie. I swear on my daughter, that is the absolute truth.
Well, you don't have to. I mean, I believe. Mostly because it's the cleanest way to hydrate. So yeah. Cure is made with clean ingredients, which means zero added sugar.
Yep.
You get pure hydration without any of the junk, and it's doctor approved.
Yeah, it's also only 25 calories per serving, so it's not overpoweringly sweet. And we all know we're supposed to start our day with water, but nobody really just wants to drink bland, boring old water. So you dump this little pack in, it gives you a little bit of sweetness, and you get your day going right.
Let's talk about the flavors.
Please.
Berry pomegranate.
Yep.
Strawberry kiwi.
Yep.
Lemonade. Watermelon. Tropical punch. Keep your mitts off it.
I know.
Blood orange. Lime. They're all so refreshing.
The strawberry kiwi is my personal fave.
Oh my God.
Steve knows now. I come into the kitchen, I have this big plastic cup, I fill it with ice, I fill it with water, I dump in my Cure, I give it a little stir. Nobody talks to me until I've had my Cure.
And look, summer's coming. We gotta stay hydrated. There's no better way.
Yes, 1,000,000%. So fam, hydration goes beyond just drinking water. It's about replenishing the electrolytes we lose through sweat, sleep, alcohol, and daily activities.
Water alone isn't enough to do the job. That's why you need to try Cure, the electrolyte drink mix that tastes as amazing as it makes you feel.
So for TCO listeners, Cure is offering 20% off your first order.
Stay hydrated and feel your best by visiting curehydration.com/TCO and using promo code TCO at checkout.
That's curehydration.com/TCO and use code TCO for 20% off your first order. You know you need to, now just do it.
I know, it's so good. You have so many options too for flavors.
Fruit punch.
And so there's this group called 500 Startups, and they found, you guessed it, 500 startups to invest in.
I gotta say, there was a podcast called Startup, which was one of the first Gimlet podcasts.
Oh, yeah.
And I was really, really into it. There's a bunch of these podcasts about entrepreneurs trying to get funding for their idea. Like Shark Tank, I love this. I'm very, very into it.
Yeah.
And so the whole idea.
And the idea was that these investors would find 500 different startups to invest in. And if they were lucky, one of them would be the next Facebook. Heather desperately wanted to break into this fold, and she tried all these different approaches to try to get in.
And Heather is desperate to break into this group, and she gets one of these companies to take her seriously, and she goes and works for a guy named Hussam Hamo.
Well, we learned one of her friends is like, she would zero in on people and then like going for the kill, and this was one of the guys that she, quote, zeroed in on.
And like, he hires her to like be a part of her team at like Tomatum
it's
Games.
It's like Tomato. But Tomatum or something? Whatever.
Right.
But he's here.
Yeah.
And he was like one of the first companies from the Middle East to be involved. It's like a big, it's like a cool thing for someone to be involved in.
And it's like, you know, I don't know much about the Silicon Valley world, but it says something about Heather that she would be able to go out there and get herself into one of these startups. You know what I mean?
She's incredibly manipulative, which is what we are told a million times over.
Yes.
Because she, first of all, always had to be the center of attention, we're told. She would like make waffles at the office, so she called herself the Waffle Queen, and you had to call her the Waffle Queen too. Like, who cares? But one of her friends, Hussam, says she was really good at identifying people, figuring them out, and then pursuing them to close deals. And I'm like, is that good business, or is that just being manipulative, or is it both?
I think it's definitely both.
Like,
I think there's a reason why people are like that.
She's definitely manipulating her partner in crime here.
Yeah.
100%.
No question.
So I think she was like, I'm sorry, finding men in Silicon Valley being like, can you tell me more about your startup? And like being interested in what they have to offer.
But she also speaks five languages. Like, she's a very intelligent woman.
100%. Yeah. I think she's using all of that for not maybe, or just like to get herself up in the world. And then I'm sitting here like, fuck yeah. Like use what you have to get into this man's world and kick that glass ceiling or whatever.
Yeah.
But then you learn what she did with it.
Well,
and you're
and
like,
that's
you,
the
you
thing.
Wasted it. All.
Right. But It all of it stinks of Elizabeth, what's her name? Elizabeth, the
Holmes.
Sarah, yeah, all of it like stinks of that, where it's like, Elizabeth Holmes, if you had used your power for the forces of good,
right.
You know what I mean? We could have really actually used that therapy. Like, go make that be real, because we need that.
Right, like maybe it could have been real if you weren't such a dick about it all.
Yeah, but it feels weird to only... I know you're not, but it feels weird to say this about women, because I'm like, wait a second, like we men are manipulative, and like they're
every single second of the day are they manipulative?
And we celebrate how far they get, and like the Mark Zuckerbergs of the world, you know.
Which one of us here is celebrating Mark Zuckerberg?
Neither one of us. But I'm saying the world does, you know.
He stepped over. I mean, the Winklevi. Hello.
Yeah, totally.
So, you know, like he lied, cheated, and stole his way to the top.
And
too.
Also, like this person just sucks and happens to
she
be a
sucks.
Woman. You know what
and,
I mean?
Yeah, and people are just saying, like, you know. she's being manipulative, but at the same time, it's like she's using what she has.
Yeah.
Being a woman, a young, smart woman in Silicon Valley could not have been easy.
No, absolutely
Don't
not.
Don't make me defend her.
I won't. I will not. So Ilya, the other one that the FBI now thinks is behind this hack.
It's like Heather and Ilya are the two people that they're looking into.
They meet because he's a mentor in this 500 Startups program. He was a founder of a company called MixRanks, which does something with internet ads I don't really understand, but is actually very successful.
It's a giant database of ads.
Right? Like, but everyone is saying, but like this company of all the companies out there, like this one seemed like it was really going to make it.
Speaking of Shark Tank, Mark Cuban was an investor.
I saw that.
Mark Cuban was on Shark Tank.
Yeah.
And also owns the basketball team.
Yeah.
So Heather-
Probably going to run for president.
Mark Cuban?
I think so.
God.
I know. He was like throwing his hat. Like, he was getting good with Kamala. We'll see.
Oh, God.
I know.
So Heather calls Ilya Dutch, and no one really knows why.
Yeah.
But we learn that Ilya is really pursuing Heather, and she wasn't into him romantically, and then eventually she was. And I'm like, okay, there's manipulation here. I get it.
Yeah.
So MixRank, this ad, this like giant database of ads, and I'm like, I'm asleep. Am I sleeping? Am I talking and sleeping?
I thought this was interesting because it's doing really well. It's having like crazy success.
I was in communication with their team to do a product video, to do a bunch of other kind of deliverables for them. But during that time, Ilya disappeared. Not really saying anything to anyone, not talking to anyone afterwards. It was just, he was there one day and he was gone the next.
It was so weird. It seemed like the company was doing well.
In 2016, he leaves. So nobody knows why.
Yeah, they're getting more employees.
Yeah.
Like, the business is booming. Bigger offices. Like, they're growing in ways that you can see and that you can't see. And then Ilya just, like, bails.
And we'll learn later that this happens to coincide with when this hack for the $4.5 billion was done.
Right.
So that's why.
So in 2017, these two bozos move to New York City from San Francisco.
Yes.
And they aren't super rich. And I'm like, because they can't be. The stolen funds are stuck.
So they've got the $4.5 billion in the bank, but they can't access it.
And I'm like, did you not realize this? Like, what was your plan here?
Right.
These are two smart people who are doing these startups. They know how this world works. They know how to hack it.
Right.
But they don't know how to get the money out of it.
My thinking is that they worked backwards. They were like, we know how to hack. I bet we could hack this Bitcoin company. Let's see how much money we can get. So they get all this Bitcoin because they're good at that part of it. But now they're like, oh shit, now what do we do? Because the other thing too is
hack it again.
Well, are they living in fear? Because now we've got this money we can't spend, but now we've got the money.
I don't think they're self-aware enough to have fear.
Yeah, right. And that at least would be better if like they were looking over their shoulder all the time, but it feels like they are not.
Yeah. Heather had Salesfolk, which is a startup about improving your cold email technique.
Yeah. And so we'll learn later that this company, like she's working on it, but like it really is just it's like a front company that they're going to try to launder some of this Bitcoin money through.
Right. So Martin is here. He's Heather's intern. And I'm like, intern?
I know.
He tells us, you know, Heather was elegant. She was professional. She was very well-versed in the industry.
Yeah.
And he says, at first, I was just managing her social media.
Uh-huh.
But after a few weeks, Heather introduced RazzleCon.
RazzleCon!
She thinks she's rapping everyone. She's trying to rap. She thinks she's rapping. And
right.
I just have in my notes, someone help me.
She thinks, she was inspired to create this alter ego after interviewing Awkwafina.
Well, she was burnt out at work. I was like, doing what? Do you work in the pit? Burnt out at work? Doing what?
I know, doing what?
So yeah, she met with Awkwafina.
Basically, she said that Awkwafina is much more confident and more shameless than Nora. That moment definitely solidified this idea to pursue an alter ego.
Awkwafina basically like told her what an alter ego was.
Yeah.
Like she had invented it.
And so like she's got this company, but like she's never working on the company. She's only making her rap
videos.
She's
so burnt out.
And this guy makes this video for her called, I can't even say, Versace Bedouin.
Whatever. It's so, like, it's supposed to be rage bait, right? Like
it's so bad. It's so bad.
And like, that's the point, right? I need that to be the point because I'm falling for the rage bait.
What the thing about it is that she's a billionaire. She's got $4.5 billion in the bank, but she can't spend it.
Here's a question for you. Is she a billionaire then?
Well, I mean, the thing is, they're going to find ways to launder enough of the money to live really high on the hog.
Yeah.
But like, that's what I'm saying. They had to know that eventually they were going to get caught.
Right.
You know?
Like, were they just going to have fun for a few years until it all came crashing down?
I do think that they had a shadow of an escape plan that they just didn't put into effect
fast enough.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because we're going to learn that she's out there making rap videos, having all the fun. No one ever sees Ilya. And I think that Ilya spends his entire entire day and night trying to figure out how to get to the money.
Yeah.
I think that's why we never see him. I think what he's doing.
Yeah, yeah. So, of course, this, like, her whole life is about the rapping career, which I say very loosely. It's an insult to the art form.
Well, they upload it to you. She's like, let it just do its thing on YouTube. They upload it to YouTube. She's expecting a million views. It gets, like, 200 views.
And every comment is like, this is terrible. You should stop doing this.
Girl, this is not where your talents lie.
Like, everyone hated it. Even Martin, the videographer, was like, this is bad. Right?
Yeah,
I'm not even going to tell my parents about it.
No. And like, so people who are paying attention to Ilya and Heather's lives are like, wait a second. We see this fancy apartment they live in because we see the YouTube videos. We see like they're going out to dinner all the time.
Heather is writing for Forbes and she's making maybe $100 to $150 per post. And then at the same time, Ilya creates a new startup and he calls it EndPass. It's unclear if it's making money. And yet, they seem to be living a life of luxury.
Her main focus is this Razzle Khan character. How do they have the money? How does she have the money to be producing these videos?
Now, meanwhile, Ilya has yet another startup called EndPass, which is hilariously about protecting your cryptocurrency.
Exactly.
The safest and most convenient crypto wallet.
Right.
Ilya.
Right.
So, and even I think it's IRS Chris is like, look, they weren't like Pablo Escobar or anything.
No, no.
But they were traveling a lot.
And he's saying, I know from my own experience, if you have to ask the question, it's probably about money laundering.
Right. And like, they are living beyond their means, but like, by way of always traveling and only flying in first class.
Yes.
So, but they
weren't. And posting about it.
Right. But like, still, they weren't living in like, what's the fanciest Hampton? Bridge, Hampton, Southampton, whatever.
East,
it's not like
West?
It's not like they had a $50 million estate
that
they were traipsing around. Like,
no.
They were just like always in first class. But and they're like, huh.
First class is kind of the equivalent to that. Like, if you're traveling all the time and you're like flying like Emirates and they're like shower suites.
I guess.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, where it's like an apartment, like a small studio apartment.
Totally.
And the point is, where the hell is the money coming from?
Right.
So what's happening is that Heather and Ilya are hiring fake employees.
That's the only reason they have these other companies. And so they can fake pay people.
And paying them in Bitcoin.
And paying them like $1 million a year.
So they're starting to launder money by like, and this person won't exist. So it's a fake payroll with fake people and fake accounts, wallets, whatever you need, whatever helps you.
Uh-huh.
Whatever phrase is most comfortable for you. Or they were hiring like fake marketing companies and paying them for their services, but the companies don't exist and the services weren't being rendered.
Yes.
So we meet Dyron Sutherland.
Oh my God.
He's Heather's friend and musician. The first song they did was High in the Cemetery. And I'm like, Mr. Sutherland, if I may. You know this is terrible.
I know.
Even now, he's not backing away from that. Like, even now, he was like, this was the coolest thing ever.
Well, because what he's saying is that
she was showing me she could splurge money. She exposed me to that rich life that I never had. She can pay for what I needed. Like, if I needed jewelry, if I needed some clothes, telling me money is not an issue. And I'm showing her, like, hey, I got the parties. I got the clubs. I can get us on the VIP list.
She's got a $2,000 cat. He's like, I want a $2,000 cat.
He said, she exposed me to the rich life that I never had. She was buying him jewelry, buying him clothes. He goes, she was buying me what I needed. I was like, yeah, like when you needed all those diamonds.
I know.
You needed the diamonds?
But some people just have fancy taste.
I guess
so. You know what
I
mean? Or else they die.
Diamonds are a girl's best friend.
It's true.
Or whatever. She's telling everyone that Ilya or Dutch, because she calls him Dutch and no one knows why, is this big stock guy and he's closing these multi-million dollar deals.
Because all their friends would spend time with them and be like, he's never around. Like, where is he?
And then it's like, are they together? Like, we're not 100% sure what their relationship is exactly.
Yeah.
Like, some people say it was just business. Other people say that they would like hook up sometimes, but it wasn't serious.
I want to like know more about what his life was like during this time, because I feel like he's in his room drinking Red Bull and staying up 19 hours a day trying to get this money out, trying to figure it out.
Yeah, being locked in, as they say.
Yeah.
So let's learn a little bit more about Heather.
Yes.
She grew up in Chico, California. Her former classmate calls it a redneck area. Those are not my words. Those are his. The point is that she didn't come from money.
No, she was an outcast. She was smart. We meet Ilya's childhood friend, Zach, and he's like, Ilya grew up in Greenville, Illinois. Like, he was in some program in high school called the TREE program, the Technology Rich Educational Environment.
Yeah.
Gravitated towards computers. I was like, oh, nerds.
He loved the board game Risk. He was very big on pulling one over on his opponent. I'm like, I see where you're going with
this. They were in a board game club. I was like, boys.
That is so fun.
Even the marching band were like,
really?
You guys are nerds.
Board game club? That would be so fun.
board games. I guess it would not be for me. I was
like, does
not,
it have to be games like Risk and Civilization, or can we play Monopoly?
I will say Risk is a really fun game.
It's super fun.
Risk isn't like, I'm really good at Risk.
Yeah.
It's not like that, like the Cones of Mordor or whatever.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Ben Wyatt.
Oh, are you the, what
Cones,
are they called?
Cones of Dunshire?
Yeah. Are you the, what do they call them? The guy who invented.
It's like the master.
You're like the. Oh my God, that episode is amazing. But like being a part of the board, I love that my kid, Daisy, desperately wants to be in the math club and the chess club.
Great.
How amazing is that?
We love that.
We had her parateacher the other day. Her math teacher was levitating with how much Daisy loves math. Like to see a teacher so excited about a kid so excited about math was wild.
That's so
great. It's really great.
Signed. A girl who was always told how terrible she was at math, because she was terrible at math. I can't imagine that. So like when I hear that, I'm just like in awe of it.
Yeah.
I'm like, she's good at it and she likes it.
And
like,
she
that's
loves
incredible.
It. You know, the reading and writing, like she's severely dyslexic. So like that is so hard for her.
Yeah.
And so I think because she's good at math, like she loves it because it's like a thing that's like, easy for
it's
her.
It's like in Mean Girls where they're like, why do you like math? And she's like, because it's the same in every language. And they're like, that's beautiful.
Also, Ilya loved to quote Austin Powers, like nerds.
Well,
nerds.
And this guy is like, he sought power. He loved Risk. He was always quoting Dr. Evil. And I'm like, can we stop? And this is where we learned that Dutch is actually a character from a game called Red Dead Redemption 2.
You lost me. I'm back to marching band.
This is a very, very famous game.
It is?
Yeah.
I don't think anyone else picked up on this, but Dutch is a character from a game called Red Dead Redemption 2. He's kind of like the protagonist the entire time until you find out he wasn't friends with anyone. He was the antagonist the whole time at the end.
You think he's the good guy the whole time, and then at the end, you realize he's the bad guy.
Well, then can you play that game more than once?
I guess. I don't know. I think it takes forever to finish it.
Oh.
That's it. It's not really my type of game.
Uh-huh.
Travel down the road and back again.
Girl, Wild Alaskan Company is a new sponsor. Stephen Lee Tipton is absolutely obsessed.
Well, let me tell you, Wild Alaskan Company is the best way to get wild-caught, perfectly portioned,
yes,
nutrient-dense seafood delivered directly to your door. I have to tell you,
yes,
it's very hard to find good seafood.
Yeah, so the thing is, it comes in a box, right? We open the box. It's like packed to the brim. You throw it in the freezer till you're ready to use it. It defrosts so perfect. We've been having it for dinner. He's been throwing it on his salads. It's the perfect thing to have in the freezer when you want to have that like delicious protein-packed meal.
Yeah, so they have like coho salmon. They have Pacific halibut. They have Pacific cod.
Yes.
You know, just for the halibut.
Right. Listen, it's 100% wild caught, never farmed. That means there are no antibiotics, GMOs, or additives, just clean, real fish that support healthy oceans and fishing communities.
Yeah, and look, if you're not completely satisfied with your first box, Wild Alaskan Company will give you a full refund, no questions asked,
yes,
no risk, just high quality seafood.
Steve said to me 4 times today, he's like, what do you want me to tell you? I love it so much, make people get it. It's so good.
Oh my God.
I know. I feel like we nailed it, Steve.
I think so.
So fam, not all fish are the same. Get seafood you can trust. Go to wildalaskan.com/TCO for $35 off your first box of premium wild-caught seafood.
That's wildalaskan.com/TCO for $35 off your first order.
Thanks to Wild Alaskan Company for sponsoring this episode. Go do this. It's a great thing. It's so easy and it's perfect to have.
There you go. And Steve loves it. So.
And Steve loves it. Girl, Earn In is back. So look, Earn In is an app that gives you access to your pay as you work. So we're talking up to $150 per day with a max of $750 between paydays.
Yeah, why are we waiting
for
our money?
Get your money when you need it is what this is all about.
You know?
And look, you never know when you're going to need that cash advance, right? Like your spontaneous date night.
Yeah, or just like saving it for rent. Or
totally.
Look, we had to take Fiona to the emergency room the other day. She's fine.
Oh,
but like
God.
Things like that, life happens
life
all
happens.
The time.
Totally. You already earned it. Why can't you have it when you want it?
Seriously, just download the Earn In app and verify your paycheck. Then you can access up to $150 a day as you work, and you can leave an optional tip.
I mean, that's crazy.
Any money you access plus tips are automatically repaid from your next paycheck.
Yeah.
Bada bing, bada boom.
So here's the deal. Download Earn In today. It's spelled E-A-R-N-I-N in Google Play or the Apple App Store. When you download the Earn In app, type in True Crime Obsessed under podcast when you sign up. It'll really help the show. So that's True Crime Obsessed under podcast. Let them know that we sent you.
Yeah. Earnin is a financial technology company, not a bank.
No.
Cash outs are based on your available earnings. Standard cash outs take 1 to 2 business days with no mandatory fees.
Yeah. And there's an option to expedite your transfer for a fee. Tips are voluntary and don't affect the service. See the cash out user agreement for details. Service is not available in all states.
I mean,
look, get your money when you want it. It's yours. You should have it when you want it.
You might have like a date night planned or just like
totally.
You're going to treat yourself.
Yeah.
Who knows? Possibilities are endless.
Totally. We're comparing Ilya and Heather to Bonnie and Clyde.
No, we're not.
Okay, great.
Heather was a citizen of the world. She spoke a ton of languages. their quote.
The disdain with which you said citizen of the world.
It's just like, that's such a quote where it's like, but was she? Like, this is what I mean. Like, if she spoke five languages, how cool is that? What? Think of what you can do with that. The experiences. You could truly be a citizen of the world.
Yeah.
But and she's like, Razzle Khan instead.
I know. And like, she lived in Hong Kong, Cairo, Turkey. It's like, holy shit.
This
guy says, this like guy who was like a professor who went on to be like a colleague of hers said,
in the beginning, her signature said Heather Morgan, economist. At that point, that was kind of aspirational. The second 6 months, she added entrepreneur. The very final email I got from her in 2013, she was economist, entrepreneur, and hustler. There was a palpable sense of restlessness about her.
Economist, entrepreneur, hustler. Gosh. And I was like, I like that.
It's like Elizabeth Theranos, whatever.
Elizabeth what? Holmes.
Holmes meets Anna Delvey.
Totally.
Meets fucking Razzle Khan.
I know.
But she knew a lot about hacking, specifically social engineering hacking. And that is a fancy word for like when you would pretend to be someone else to get the person to give you a password. So you'd have like audio of a screaming baby in the background to create urgency and be like, please, please, please. My mom really needs this. Oh my God, my baby.
But that's what hacking really is. We think that hacking is like a guy in a dark room and like a black suit. And like
not always.
No, hacking is like convincing people to give you their passwords out of like making them think a baby is dying.
Yeah, or you're just like, I mean, I've told the story a million times, but my grandmother used to get phone calls all the time where they would know that she's old and hear that she was old and be like, oh, hi, how are you? Like really nice and be like, I'm so, did you know that you owe X amount of money? And like, we can make that go away for you right now. So all you have to do is I'll hold tight while you get your purse. I mean, they're like the patience. I get the guys from India screaming at you about your back taxes. And I'm like, what the fuck?
I know. We will come to your house right now.
And I'm like, no, you won't.
I know.
My accountant's awesome. Gail has my back. Trust me, I pay my estimates. I'm good, girl.
Oh my God.
Don't fucking yell at me. Or now I get these calls where it's like, we're calling you about the property you own in Delaware. And I'm like, that's so easily. I'm like, well, I don't have a house in
Michigan
or wherever. So like, click.
How do you sleep at night? How do you sleep at night knowing that I'm going to wake up tomorrow and scam call all these old people?
I don't know.
My mom fell for it too. My mom gave up like most of her savings one of the, it was a total nightmare.
That's horrifying. And my dad was actually, I think my mom was there for it once and she was like, Mom, hang up the phone and never answer these calls again. No. And my grandmother was one fucking tough cookie. So.
Yeah. Annie, but, we don't fuck with her.
No, we don't. But she, my dad was the voice on her answering machine to have like a male voice.
Oh, that's right.
So instead of like an automated one, it was like safer or it was like, it felt to be like, oh, so I won't mess with her. And like if some like robber was like going to call
if
she was alone.
Oh, yeah, no, people used to do this all the time.
So it was, my dad did it. Crazy, right?
Oh,
crazy the world we live in. So Heather is like doing all these talks. And during one of her talks about social engineering hacking, which is what we were just talking about, it becomes clear that she kind of supports it.
Yeah.
Because
that she's done it.
And when she's asked about it, she kind of like hems and haws and talks in circles. And she ends this little like word salad with, well, I have my own ethics.
Yes. What? And like you can see her going to these conventions wanting to be like a cryptocurrency influencer.
Yeah.
You know?
And like she's some kind of hacking influencer.
Exactly. Like she's some kind of authority on it.
The writing was on the wall, everyone.
100%.
A cryptocurrency hacking influencer. Hello?
They were telling you what they were doing.
So here's what's interesting. Because someone's like, there's no way Ilya did this. There's no way Ilya did this. What's really interesting is that Ilya's father is a hacker. Famously a hacker. So remember earlier the godfather of hacking or whatever, Brett?
Right.
But unbeknownst to everybody, Brett was actually working undercover as a Secret Service informant because he had gotten arrested for an eBay scam.
My job was to target individuals and build up investigations against them.
And one of the individuals that came to him was a hacker who used the name Deuce.
Deuce hacked into the First National Bank of Indiana, but there's a problem. He can't cash out.
I will say.
Like father, like son.
Exactly. Like the name Deuce did make me laugh.
I know.
I mean.
So Deuce finds out that Brett is an informant.
Because he gets in touch with Brett to be like, bro, I've got all this money in the National Bank of Indiana or whatever. Can you get me out of here? Brett's like, absolutely. Give me your name, your social security number, your address, and where you are right now.
Right.
Deuce hacks into Brett's computer, realizes that he's a fucking hacker, and like threatens threatens his life.
Right. So whatever, bada bing, bada boom, we find out through research that Deuce is actually Ilya's father, and his name is Eugene Lichtenstein.
Now, the Secret Service goes right to Eugene's house where he admits everything, and he then becomes an informant.
Right. This is all in 2005, by the way.
Yeah. And he becomes a real estate agent in Chicago.
And he's never charged.
Right.
So that's a major part of it here, that like Ilya knows someone who could either hack for him, or he grew up with a father teaching him how to hack. Like, that's where the IRS is going with this.
Exactly.
Because you can't ignore the fact that his father was like a famous hacker.
Right. And like, if Ilya didn't do this, did his dad do it? Did they do it together?
Right.
But like, it's definitely them.
Is his dad involved? Like, exactly. What's going on? So Heather and Ilya go to Ukraine.
Now, this is kind of important because they're buying like stolen passports, debit cards, other quote identity documents. They're getting shipments from Russia. The point of this is to say that it looks like they are creating some sort of an escape plan.
When they were in Ukraine, they were trying to set up places to be and live. And my belief, and I think the belief of federal authorities, is that that was their escape plan.
If they get busted in the United States, they can go to Ukraine, get into Russia, which does not have an extradition treaty with the United States. They can get the money out there and live like the fucking Russian oligarchs who do this every day.
So everyone's like, well, why didn't they just go to Russia then?
Right.
Like, Ilya's Russian. They both speak Russian. They could have all their money tax-free. Like, why didn't they just go there?
And this is one of those things where I don't know how much they knew. Like, we know a lot of what they could have done because smart people are telling us. Maybe Ilya and Heather didn't know this.
But then why go through the hack? It just seems so silly to me to go through everything it takes to hack and like all the risk and then not be able to get your reward because it's stuck online and then not know where to go next.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, because what they do instead of just getting on a plane and going to Russia, they get married.
It's 2021. These idiots are getting married. Everyone was shocked. All of the friends are kind of dreading it because these two are so fucking annoying.
And nobody, they don't have any real friends. These are all friends from like 10 years ago. Nobody wants to go to this thing.
Their wedding includes the song I hate, The Final Countdown.
I know. Oh, God, I hate that song,
I know
too.
It's irrational. Mike can tell you I hate it so much. I know. I just can't stand it. I know it's a me thing,
Like,
of course.
Well, that's not the only song their wedding has, because Heather promises to drop her new single at the wedding.
Well, first of all, it looks like they're in like a hybrid warehouse / conference room.
Yeah, right.
She's, quote, rapping.
Right.
She's appropriating cultures. All the lights are on for some reason. I know.
They're like overhead fluorescent lights.
It ends up being a RazzleCon concert. The groom is nowhere in sight. They get married. They have an after party. More rapping, more dancing.
I know, but they have this after party at like, it's like a secret party at some like LA mansion that they rented.
All the lights are on.
But that's what I'm saying.
It's a bad
party. It doesn't look fun to me at all. It looks like bad karaoke with all the lights on. It's as bright as the studio.
And like cultural appropriation. It's so bizarre.
Yeah.
But there's also a raffle.
In the wedding, there was this raffle that happened. Ilya, he announced that he was giving away like an iPhone and a PlayStation.
And they also gave away some gift cards.
We found out they had purchased prepaid gift cards with Bitcoin.
The gift cards is where we get in trouble.
Yeah. Because they're trying to launder money.
Yes.
With gift cards.
They finally feel like because their Bitcoin is so traceable, if they buy gift cards, then the gift cards are they're going to try to launder $4.5 billion in Uber and Amazon gift cards.
It's ridiculous.
These idiots.
And I was just thinking too, like, if you are using this bullshit wedding to launder money, throw a better party. For the love of God.
I know. Make it destination, we'll pay for everybody. You know what I mean?
I just like resent it.
I know. But it's like, really, truly, what is the only thing they could have done was go to Russia and find somebody there to help them. Like, go to the government and be like, well, I'll give you half the money if you get the money out for me. They absolutely would have done it.
Right. I don't know why they, it's so weird.
I think that they were just waiting. Like, I think that they maybe didn't know how close on their heels the government actually was.
Maybe.
And they thought maybe they had more time.
I guess they figured, oh, it's been this long.
Right.
Who cares?
Right. Because
they just keep making spectacles of themselves.
Chris is saying it was one of two things. Either they knew that they were about to get arrested and go to jail for the rest of their lives, so they were going down in a blaze of glory, or they had no idea how close the government actually was to them, because they could have just gotten on a plane and gone to Russia at any time.
So the government is able to track the gift cards back to Heather and Ilya in like 2 seconds.
The Uber gift cards. It's so good.
In 2 seconds.
At this point, the government has a pretty good idea that Heather and Ilya are in some way involved in this hack. But the problem is, law enforcement doesn't have access to the stolen Bitcoin. They can watch this Bitcoin wallet, but they can't seize the money without the private keys.
The government can't do that without a password, and it would take a computer 13 billion years to guess it right.
Like, that's the thing about Bitcoin is that, like, there was a guy I was telling you about who had $18 million. He bought Bitcoin for nothing, and at its height, he had $18 million in Bitcoin, and he couldn't get to it because he lost his password. And if you lose your password, you're out. There is no reset your password. There's no one coming to help you. Like, if you lose your password, it's over. So his money is just there, and he'll never be able to
get
to it.
And no one will.
No one will. Isn't that wild? And so that's the thing about these passwords is that, like, the government can't actually do anything until they actually seize the money, but they can't seize the money because they don't have the passwords.
And we got to put a stop to RazzleCon.
I know.
Honestly. Because, like, that's how she's going to keep trying to launder it with the gift cards and the music videos. Like, we have to put an end to this.
Travel. Girl, Chime is back. Look, fam, when you open a Chime checking account, you are one step closer to a better financial future.
Yeah, there are no maintenance fees.
Right.
They have fee-free overdraft up to $200.
Come on.
You can get paid up to 2 days early with direct deposit. I mean, like, making financial progress has never been easier.
Yeah, and if you want access to your payday before payday, you can use MyPay to get up to $500 of your pay before payday with no mandatory fees or interest.
Yeah, learn more at Chime.com/TCO.
I mean, this is amazing. Like, the fee-free overdraft up to $200 alone would have saved my financial life when I was in my 20s.
Yeah, so it's called SpotMe.
Yes.
So you can overdraft up to $200 without fees with SpotMe when you set up qualifying direct deposits.
Yeah, and by the way, today Chime has spotted members over $30 billion.
That's with a B.
Also, there are 50,000 fee-free ATMs. I told you that I one time paid a $6 fee to get $20.
That's crazy.
Because I needed the cash.
So you paid $26.
I paid $26.
Not with Chime.
Not with Chime.
Over 50,000. That's crazy.
It's amazing.
I love it.
So fam, make progress toward a better financial future with Chime.
Open your account in 2 minutes at Chime.com/TCO.
That's Chime.com/TCO. Chime feels like progress.
Banking services and debit card provided by the Bancorp Bank N.A. or Stride Bank N.A. Members FDIC. SpotMe eligibility requirements and overdraft limits apply. Fees apply at out-of-network ATMs. MyPay eligibility requirements apply. Credit limits range $20 to $500. $2 fee applies to get funds instantly. Chime checking account required. Go to chime.com/disclosures for details. So it's January 5th, 2022. The police knock on the door at 5 a.m. They wake up Heather and Ilya.
Yeah, because they've got a warrant. Because now, even though they don't have the passwords, they've got enough to get a warrant. So they're thinking, we're going to turn their house upside down and find the password. They wrote it down. It's got to be somewhere.
And the cops say, look, you can either stay here and watch us rifle through your stuff, or you can leave and come back in a few hours when we're done. Now, Heather wants to take her cat. I get it.
She's got the smartest idea she's had this whole documentary.
IRS Chris is over it. He's like, you want to talk about the cat? Everyone wants to talk about the cat. Fine,
because
we'll talk about the cat.
She's lying. She doesn't want the cat. She wants to run into her bedroom with her phone and jam it shut. She's hitting all the numbers.
The cat is scared because people are just busting in. So the cat goes to hide under the bed and she sees this. She goes, aha.
Yep.
So they allow Heather to go under her bed to try to get the cat. But in reality, Heather was on her phone trying to lock it. It doesn't work.
Yes.
So it's kind of a non-story, Chris. Don't worry about it.
Right. Don't worry about it. So they seize all of this stuff. They don't find the passwords and they can't arrest them.
No. So after the search warrant, these two really could have gone anywhere.
Yes.
Because they know the cops are on their tail. They know the IRS has them. They could go anywhere and they go nowhere.
And Chris even says if they don't want to go to Russia, there are plenty of countries they can go to that have non-extradition treaties with the United States. They could have gone anywhere.
Now, the best place for them to go, like we said, Russia.
Yeah.
But in January of 2022, Russia attacks Ukraine.
Right.
So that makes it impossible for them to go to that part of the world. They still could have gone to... They had other options.
Venezuela.
Like
anywhere.
And they have connections to countries that don't have extradition treaties.
Right.
But they're just chilling in New York City like nothing ever happened.
Making videos about donuts and cats. And it's just like...
Salons complaining about their AirPods pancakes.
Somebody says that Heather had become so addicted to making videos and being on the internet that she literally couldn't stop.
I mean, I believe that. And I agree with that. Like, they're addicted to being annoying. Whatever attention it gets them, good, bad, indifferent, happy. And I guess mostly Heather, because we don't see Ilya in these videos.
Right. He must still be in his room trying to get the goddamn money out. Like, that's what's happening.
So IRS Chris is here to bring it all home, and he's like...
And we started finding spreadsheets that were encrypted where other files were not encrypted, and so they just stuck out. And I won't get into how we access the files. I'll leave it for the FBI to tell that story one day. But once we did, it had this kind of slow burn of like, is this... Can't be this. I think it is this.
But we got in. And I'm like, holy shit.
He's in his home office when he, like, stumbles upon a spreadsheet that has all of the passwords to the Bitcoin wallets.
Yeah.
It's the best day of Chris's life.
They call it an electronic smoking gun.
Yes.
So February 8th, 2022, they're arrested. And they instantly start speaking to each other in Russian.
Yes.
To try to communicate without anyone knowing what
they're saying. Now, we learn that in the accounts, there's only $3.6 billion. Which
only.
Means they've been able to launder at least $1 billion of it. Like, where's all that money?
Only.
I know. But, like, they got away with $1 billion? Like, where's the money?
Over, like, 6 years.
We're going to learn that she's been burying gold coins in the woods. I'm like, finally, somebody's taking my advice.
And it's got to be Razzlecon.
I know.
So it's all over the news, right? And then, yeah. And now, like, the narrative is turning into, like, but did they really do anything wrong? Like, they stole a bunch of fake money. The Bitcoin bros deserve it anyway.
Uh-huh,
there
uh-huh.
are people sort of, like, are they hometown heroes? Like, what's going
on? But, like,
on?
This is one of those things where everyone wants to say it's a victimless crime. It's not true. There were a lot. We've met people throughout the doc that, like, invested the little bit of money they had in Bitcoin. Like, this one guy invested $10,000 that over the time that the hack happened would have earned $250,000. That's right. Life-changing money.
And so...
But he's not going to get that money now because his Bitcoin's gone.
And the company itself, Bitfinex, was the thing that got hacked. And
yeah.
So they're trying to give people compensation. But, like, these people don't want 15 Bitcoins. They want the $250,000 that it would have grown into.
They're giving them compensation for what was lost on the day of the hack. So this guy is getting the equivalent to the $10,000 he had in Bitcoin, not the $250,000 that Bitcoin would be worth now.
I don't want 15 Bitcoins.
No. Well, you would want 15 Bitcoins.
Do I?
Oh, yeah. The Bitcoins themselves are each worth like $1 million. Like, you're buying like pieces of Bitcoin.
You know so much about this.
It's weird. I know. The actual Bitcoins, the full Bitcoin is worth a ton of money.
Let me ask you something.
Yeah.
I decide this is never happening. We're in a parallel universe. I walk out of here and I'm like, do you know what I need? I want Bitcoin.
Yeah.
How do I get a Bitcoin? Like, how do I get $1 of Bitcoin?
I don't know the answer, but it's so Googleable. You could get it.
I'm like, sure now it's
yeah,
like.
You could buy it on any exchange.
And so Bitcoin, is that a different kind of currency than like an NFT?
I have no idea about NFT.
Okay.
I know nothing
so
about
they're
that.
Different. They're both cryptocurrency, but they're not the same thing.
That's correct. Yeah.
Thanks. I don't know any. I have no idea. And I don't want to know, everyone.
I know.
Don't waste your DM on that. I don't care. So I like my money right where I can see it.
Yeah, 100%.
As Carrie Bradshaw says, hanging in my closet. That's also not me either, but they are awaiting trial. So Ilya's in custody. Heather's allowed to work from home, which is interesting.
Well, Ilya's more of a flight risk, right?
I mean, the real crime is Razzle Khan, if we're being honest.
She should be sentenced to death for that.
You thought you were going to get me, Ms. Anti-Death Penalty, to crack on that one? No. Let her rot.
Life
no.
in prison.
Razzle Khan is a real crime.
Oh, God.
So they should probably cooperate with the government, right?
Yeah.
Like, that's what everyone is saying.
Well, because they say the government wins 97% of their cases. So, and cooperate with them.
And the thing is, well...
You know what I mean?
You say that in such a way where it's like, duh.
But it's like, you're not going to get away with it. You know what I mean? Like, you stole $4.5 billion of Bitcoin.
Well, the point is, too, they actually have something to barter because there's like $1 billion that the government couldn't find.
Yes.
So maybe if they told the government where it was, they'd go easy on them. That's the thought.
And how they did it. Like, the government is saying, are there other websites we should be looking at? How did you launder
this money?
Frank Abagnale
you want to see in the world.
100%.
Because they're like, why don't you tell us how you did this? Help us with other cases. And then maybe you'll just like be on probation or something.
So like, the case is going along, but then we're back with that guy, Brett, the former hacker, the guy who invented crypto crime or whatever. And he's saying no one is talking about Ilya's dad here.
He's about to lose his mind.
Right. He's like losing his mind that like nobody wants to talk about the fact that like Ilya's dad is like the king head hacker, even better than me.
Then all of a sudden, the case started being postponed until finally one day it's matter of national security.
So Brett's like giving this information out to everybody, which stops the case dead in its tracks, and we'll never know why.
Right.
Because something about these documents that he has access to that prove that Ilya's dad is involved here has something to do with national security that we'll never know.
And no one is allowed to talk about it.
Nope.
So, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, that take that how you will, I guess.
And so, like, this is the only reason why Ilya and Heather didn't go to prison for the rest of their lives, because all of a sudden they can't charge them with all of the shit they were going to charge them with, because that would mean submitting these documents into open court, and then we would learn things about the U.S. government that we're not allowed to know.
Right.
So these people get away with it because we can't know what's in these documents.
It's insane.
Isn't that insane?
And, like, what did Ilya's dad do? What does he know? What is his information? It's really... It's really
somebody buy a condo from him in Chicago. Get him a loan and rent. He's a real estate guy in Chicago now.
It's unsettling.
A real estate agent, by the way. He doesn't like own properties. He's like doing rentals.
He's doing rentals.
Yeah.
Wow. You can make a shit ton of money being an agent, though.
But yeah, I'm just saying that like Ilya's dad is somehow very important to national security, and we don't know why.
I mean, isn't that a great way to launder money, though?
Oh right? Yeah. Oh sure.
Through properties.
Yeah.
Right.
See, you know more than we think you know.
I'm just asking. That was a question. I had a question mark at the end of that sentence. August 2023, Washington D.C. There's a plea hearing.
Yeah.
They say something that really was a gut punch.
What was it?
That was this is the quote.
Oh, yeah.
That was the day a former president was turning himself in. And I'm like, oh, remember when it was former?
I know. It all happened the same day.
The same day. That's they wild. Say it was a literal circus outside.
Yeah.
So here's what happens at the plea deal. Heather and Ilya couldn't interact with each other, obviously.
Yes.
Ilya confessed to being the hacker, full stop.
Yeah.
He stole all the username and passwords. He operated totally 100% alone. Heather only got involved with the money laundering, and she also destroyed evidence and threw laptops away.
She threw a laptop down the chute. She buried gold coins in the woods. Like, that's my favorite part of this whole documentary.
Yeah. She just ran to where? Did she go to the Pine Barrens? Like, where'd she go?
Right, Central Park.
Heather pleads guilty. She's, quote, let go.
I know.
And Ilya has been in prison ever since.
Yes.
While Heather is living her life going to crypto conferences with no sense of irony.
Further to what his dad knows that, like, touched national security in such a way that we couldn't produce these
can't
documents.
Talk about it?
Ilya, as part of his plea deal.
During the plea hearing, the judge had informed Ilya that there was an offer to enroll him in the witness protection program. That actually stood out to me because it's like, why would this guy go into witness protection over a case like this?
The offer is rare.
Yeah.
And saying no, I don't know if it has ever happened.
Right. Like what?
Except
what
for when Sammy the Bull left it, which we'll get to when we cover that stupid fucking documentary.
Oh, great.
But like, he was offered to go into witness protection, which again should make you go, what?
What are we talking about?
And he said no.
And he said no. It's crazy.
It doesn't make any sense.
Yeah.
So now it ends with everyone saying that. Like, nothing adds up. Things don't make any sense. You know who else is saying that? Ilya.
Yes.
Ilya wrote to the filmmakers from prison. He can't talk about the case, but he says there's more to the story. And I'm like, but is there?
Right. But there must be.
There has to be. But also, everything about this is so annoying where I'm like, are you just doing that thing?
Well, I feel like there's more to the story about him and his dad. Like, what is going on there?
And like, where is his dad in this? And his dad has never appeared.
No. It's crazy.
It's weird. So we get like a bunch of on-screen text at the end that on November 14th, 2024, Ilya was sentenced to 5 years plus 3 years of supervised release. He did not respond to a request to answer further questions, but he did send that letter that was like,
he wants to talk eventually.
But he can't right now.
Right.
On November 18th, 2024, Heather was sentenced to 18 months and 3 years of supervised release. She declined to participate. Heather, I Googled, she actually started her sentence in February of 2025.
Oh, shit. So it just started.
It just started. Eugene Lichtenstein did not, which is Ilya's father,
did
not respond to multiple requests to participate in this film. Shocking.
Shocking.
He's keeping his mouth shut.
Yeah.
And that's kind of it.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of it. Why does he not want to go into the witness protection? I'm very curious.
The thing that got hacked, that Bitfinex, wants everyone to know that its refund plan is among the most successful compensation plans in the cryptocurrency industry. I don't know, maybe make it so that this can't happen. Is that
I know.
A really dick thing for me to say? I'm really asking, like,
no,
is that impossible?
Well, they hacked into their server. How did you not know there were hackers in your server getting people's passwords? That's crazy to me.
I just feel like, and again, I don't care.
I know.
But like, I feel like this needs to be done better somehow.
I mean,
I'm not 100%. The girl to do it.
Yeah.
I don't give a shit about it either way. But it just seems like it's so easy. You get one really, two, three smart hackers, bada bing, bada boom, $4.4 million or
billion.
Whatever. Billion is just like floating in the ether.
I know.
Only to see the light of day through Uber gift cards.
I know.
It only, the $4 million only lets out of its little cage
Uber
via
gift cards.
Gift cards.
I know.
And a bad rap career.
Make it make sense.
Oh my God, I can't.
Oh my God, girl, we did, what's it called?
The biggest heist ever.
Oh my God.
I'm sick of the derpy heisters.
I know.
I want better heisters next time around. We're not doing a heist until they're better.
Go watch our episode on YouTube. Go watch it right now if you haven't yet. It's so fun. True Crime Obsessed podcast.
Yeah.
Join our DC.
Our Discord.
Join our Disky.
We're having a lot of fun in there. No one calls it Disky or DC, but you can still join and have fun. I can't wait now tomorrow. It's going to be like, hey, Disky.
Hey, Diskies. Don't do that to Jillian. She's in there way more than me.
Fine.
She'll hate it. What are we doing next, girl?
Southern Fried Lies on Peacock.
Ooh, what's that? Now I'm starving.
I'm starving too. Her name is Donna. She's a real piece of work. That's all I'll say. That's all I'll say.
Treat yourself.
Oh, God.
All right, fam. We love you. Thanks for hanging out.
We love you.
Yeah. All right, that's it.
All right, see you next time.
Goodbye.
Bye.
I've never seen a case like this. Money laundering, aggravated identity theft, wire fraud, let alone potential murder.
What a story it was. I mean, it was so twisted.
Y'all don't make me look like no hit.
I had never heard a bad word about Donna Herring until...
Matthew Seth Jacobs was probably the richest guy in Camden, and everyone knew it. Matthew's estate was about $2 million.
And bless his heart, he didn't know who to trust and where to turn.